final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this, looks like kind of rainy, Wednesday here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Congratulations, John Autry. John called in and correctly said Phil Tomasino to Elijah Campbell back at our Hillside Medical Game Studios, and that answer was correct. And, John, we'll see you at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night when the Predators host the Jets from Winnipeg. And you never know this hour. We may have another pair to give away. Just saying. You just never know on this show. That's why you should always keep listening. So congratulations, John. It does pay to listen, and enjoy the game tomorrow night. Let's bring in the voice. Pete Weber, on his birthday, I think we'll spare him singing because I don't think that will do anybody any good. I don't think that's a good thing. But, Pete, happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much, Darren. I got a few telephone serenades this morning.
Did you?
So I learned the words all over again.
Anybody stand out in those singing telegrams on your birthday?
I have to say guy from Parry Sound, Ontario. Yes, Crispy sang this morning.
Did he? And how was
it? I don't think he's going to get the recording contract, as much as he might like.
You're saying he picked the right career path?
Yes, I think he did. Yes, absolutely.
Before we get into this Predators team, your background in Buffalo, and who knows? It could be indeed the Bills and the Titans in the AFC Championship game. You're also familiar with that run when it's so hard to get back, right? And they did it four times. And I know it didn't go their way, but still, just to get there 4 years in a row is amazing to the finish line. What is that like? What does that do to a city? You understand that.
What's it exhausts the city. I'll tell you that much. It exhausts the city without any question. That was a pretty – and obviously you go in not knowing that the team is going to make it that far, particularly – 1 year when they were down 35-3 midway through the third quarter in a wild card playoff game against the Oilers, and then come back and win the game 41-38 in overtime. You thought it was over then. A lot of people left the stadium, and then as they had their car radios on, tried to come back in. So it was sort of like the gates got crushed in, then they got crushed back out again. But that was...
Was this like the Kirk Gibson home run? You could see the taillights, people slamming on their brakes as they were probably doing exactly what you said, listening in the car?
Another animal entirely, Dodger fans. They try to get there in their seats by the second or third inning and know they better leave in the seventh because of the traffic jam outside where Willie just most recently jogged on Elysian Park. That was a regular thing. And keep in mind, those nationally televised games from Los Angeles, they're working at a two-hour disadvantage to us in this time zone. So they had to get there for basically twilight into the hitter's eyes and all of that. I think the worst situation for that was probably in the 79 season when Nolan Ryan, I saw every game he pitched at home in Anaheim, and three of those games were near no-hitters. It wasn't until the following year that he broke his tie with Sandy Koufax while pitching for Houston, where he got his fifth no-hitter, and then added two more. What the heck? But that is a definite detriment for hitters.
You know, we were talking earlier, and I admitted that it's not that I don't believe in the window. I just feel a little bit different in the window because I know how difficult it is. And I had to agree with Willie where he said, you know, this particular spot that the Titans are in may be the best spot they're going to be in. And they're in a window. They've been winning, but they're in that window. And I said, you know, I agree because, you know, sitting there after game six in the Stanley Cup final to start postgame, I'm like, you know, it stinks. Predators didn't win, but hey, cheer up. There's a 4 or 5 year window, and we know how hard, even when it does look like you're in the window, at the highest level in professional sports, we know how hard it is to try to recreate that, right? Because there's so many things that can derail it. There's so many things that can happen throughout the course of a season for you to never to get back in that spot. And I feel like I agree that the Titans may be in that perfect spot, and I have no idea how your game's going to play out on Sunday. Man, that is really, really intriguing to see who's going to fare, you know, who's going to come out on the other side between the Bills and the Chiefs. I know Buffalo got them in the regular season, but can they do it twice in a year? We're about to find out on Sunday, but I believe the window's real, but I also recognize that it's just so hard to keep doing it year after year and have everything go your way.
You can't carry things over. There's nothing carries from season to season, much less week to week. So how are you going to perform on this particular day in this game against that opponent? And how are they going to do?
I felt bad last Thursday that you were unable to be at Bridgestone Arena because you had tested positive, because it was a little bit different night. Yes, it was the Sabres in town, but recognizing, you know, the services of Jerry Helper from day one, as you know, going off into retirement, a guy who's been in the league for a long, long time. He also understands Buffalo and that market, and then his work here. So I felt bad because I know you would have loved to have been there at Bridgestone Arena last Thursday night, you know, for Jerry. Well, for people who, you know, we've known Jerry for a long time, but for all the people out there that have never encountered Jerry Helper and been around him and the stories that he can tell and the experiences that he's had, man, he has seen a lot. He could certainly write a book if he ever wanted to.
Yes, he could. And he had to get a lot of payoffs from people that want him to exclude things from the book to be certain to protect the innocent. But when I first met Jerry, I had just returned to Buffalo from the West Coast in 1982. He was the assistant to one of the greatest minds I've ever met in sports. Paul Wieland was the director of public relations and communications for the Sabres, and he was Paul's assistant. Paul was the guy who came up with this great idea of every year having a particularly unique approach to the April Fool's telecast for the team. He let all of us, and I was the host, run away with our creativity and do the various ideas. One night, one year, it was changing it into a public television style, great TV auction, where they were auctioning things off. Like there was a kid's toy hockey stick, and he said, well, we have an autographed Frankie Sylve. He was a 5'7" center for the Sabres hockey stick. They auctioned off trips on the battleships that were parked down in the Buffalo Harbor. I did a long German dissertation, which was subtitled down below, complaining about the lack of German players in the league. And Eric Kuhnhackl was, his son having played in the league the last few years, he was the god of German hockey at the time. And then I interviewed Greg Malone, who was playing for the Hartford Whalers. The Whalers were in town on April 1st, and we teased it as this. I was going to interview the leading hooker in the National Hockey League. So then he showed his various hooking techniques, how he would hold people up, try to work in on goal. Still a classic, still a classic.
Who do you think would pay off Jerry the most to leave them out of the book?
You know, that's a good question. And because of among the things that I solicited for his memories was the man who was coach and general manager at the time when I met Jerry at Buffalo, and that was William Scott Bowman. He's had some success in the hockey world over the
years.
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
And some of the stories there. And then one night, Joe Crozier was Scotty's assistant on the bench for Sabres games. And just before Mike Robitaille and I went on the air at the pregame show, there's a knock on our studio door, and our studio was located between the two home and visiting dressing rooms at the Odd. And Pete, Scotty wants to talk to you right now. Okay, so I had maybe 4 minutes to go 10 feet down the hall and go into Scotty's office. We walk in the door, and the first thing I hear is, hey, I've got my fantasy baseball draft tonight. Can you run over the White Sox starting rotation for me? The White Sox were the parent team of the Buffalo Bisons at that time, with whom I was also working. So very interesting stories going back to those times.
I can't tell you how impressed that he was playing fantasy baseball back then. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, 1984. And he wanted to beat his old Canadiens counterpart, who was then the St. Louis Blues general manager. And he had to beat him. So White Sox starting rotation was key to his draft that night.
Pete, as we transition, because there's news about Crispy as well that we want to share with people. As we talk about Jerry, it's pretty fair to say, right? Jerry was as influential as anybody of pairing together you and Crispy as the original broadcast team for the Predators, right?
Without question. And I remember when I was set to come in here, Terry started asking me about if I thought I could work with Terry. And I did not say no, no way. I can't see this at all. But
how well did you know Crispy at the time before you started working?
I had interviewed him as a coach with Calgary and as a coach with Tampa, but you know, nowhere near how we came to know each other here in Nashville. But I knew that he had a wry sense of humor. And I'm going to spell Rye, W-R-Y, okay? Not R-Y-E. And that was something I thought that could hit it off. And actually, I felt incredibly comfortable with him on that first telecast that night, October the 10th, 98, against the Florida Panthers.
It was so natural from day one. That was very, very apparent to everybody. I think that helped so much get everybody familiar with the team because you guys – you know, you had that instant chemistry. That's not always easy to pick out. So Jerry deserves a lot of credit for that. So
yes, he does. He was a good scout.
No question. Good scouting for sure. So let's talk about Terry. And Crispy was named to yet another Hall of Fame yesterday.
Yep. Tennessee Sportscaster of the Year from the National Sports Media Association. When I got involved with that association, it wasn't rebranded yet. It was the National Sportscasters and Sports Writers Association, but it's been rebranded because of everything that has happened in our overall business the last few years. But Terry was voted top sportscaster in Tennessee. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I think he could have been voted before this. I don't think this was any ceremonial thing at all, saying that he is going to, now I hate to put it this way, but we know the scene at the end of Blazing Saddles where they rode off in the sunset in a limousine heading up the hill. But that's a different story altogether. Terry considers himself, I don't think he considers himself truly a broadcaster, but he is a communicator. He is a hockey man, first and foremost. So many years in the game, going back to the 60s. But he has communicated his love and knowledge of the sport so well here in Middle Tennessee. I'm glad to see that he's going to get recognized for that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, Pete, let's talk a little bit about the team. This is, four losses in a row, certainly the first stumble that they've had in a long time and what has been an outstanding first half of the season. But being able to weather these storms is part of what every team has got to go through for sure. And they've got to get right back at it tomorrow night in a real big division contest against the Jets.
Yes, against a Jets team. And now we're getting accustomed to this, right? The Canadian team's not traveling their broadcasters. So we look over to either side and there's nobody there to quickly check notes with on somebody. And Winnipeg will not be coming in for tomorrow night's game. That is to say the broadcasters will not be coming in. Other than that, that would make things very difficult, would it not? But the Jets are, this will be game two of a 4-game road trip for them. And they lose in overtime last night in Washington. So let's see what they have going. And from when we first saw them earlier in the year, they've changed coaches. Paul Maurice just said they needed a different voice. So now his number one assistant, Dave Lowry, has taken over back of the bench. So let's see if there's a great deal of change in them. From what I've seen on video so far, I don't see a tremendous change between the Maurice Jets and the Lowry Jets.
And it's ironic that as we talk about this, we saw Vancouver last night with their new coach. And certainly he's trying to downplay it, but Bruce Boudreau has got to be given a lot of credit because that team is playing with a lot of life and a lot of confidence right now.
Are they ever? And every time he goes someplace, he seems to turn it around. When he came into Washington, all of a sudden the Capitals became something special. When he was fired, I think it was less than 48 hours after fired by the Capitals, he was hired by the Anaheim Ducks, went in there and did an absolutely fantastic job. So he is nearing 1,000 NHL games coached. And anybody who has watched the development of coaches in this league understands what a grind that is. But he has really thrived in it.
No question. So, Pete, last thing about the team. Right now what I'm seeing, they are They are trying to get by without two of their top four defensemen. Mm-hmm. And maybe a couple years ago when they had, you know, going back to the Shea Weber days, and Seth Jones was like the fifth best defenseman on the team, a young Seth Jones. And when they had PK Subban, they had four aces, really. Now you really miss when a guy like Matthias Ekholm was out. And Dante Fabbro, I thought, was really coming into his own, playing very steady. So they're missing those two guys right now.
Yeah, I don't want to overlook the development of Dante Fabbro. I think he has really become top-notch. But injuries keeping him out right now. For Matthias Ekholm, one of those things that is happening to every team, right? The morning test.
Yes.
Have a game. And all of a sudden, he's in COVID protocol. Well, we had that last night with Bo Horvat for the Vancouver Canucks. He also, morning test, got knocked out of the lineup. So with the defense like that, do you want the forwards to just collapse and come back in the zone? I don't think so. I think that if they can get the forecheck game going, as it largely has been this season, that can make up a great deal. And last night, David Rittich, I think, played very well in goal for the Preds. And it was important, I think, that he eat some innings there for UC Saros last night. And I think he quite effectively did that.
That's going to be a thing. That's something that Coach Hines told us when you were doing your interview for the pregame. He said he's an important guy, David Rittich is, not only tonight, but for the second half of the season. He's going to get more starts, you would think, in the second half than the first, the way the schedule is compressed. And I think here, very, very soon, we're going to actually see what the schedule looks like for the month of February.
The fill-in games, yes. And I think that right now the team has 15 sets of back-to-backs. I'm sure that likely will be increased somewhat.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Go ahead, Darren.
Willie. Nope.
Nope. Darren's checking out all of a sudden. What's going on?
No, finish up.
He's mentally in the cherry cricket. And
that's what's happening.
The gentleman wants to top off his milkshake again.
Well, that's where I was going to end with Pete. What are you going to do on your birthday? What's on the schedule for tonight?
Out for dinner tonight. And
all right.
Gonna hope. I mean, were you guys shocked after the game last night to come home and see all these closings announced on the bottom of the screen during the newscast? I mean, I was shocked by that because where I am right now, I don't see any precipitation other than that stuff that just bounces off your windshield and gets wiped off. I haven't been affected by any snow. You guys?
No, not on the east side. I can report in some rain, but that's about
rain.
It.
Rain.
Yeah.
Rain. Take your umbrella.
Rain is simple. That just means you get in your car and you press the accelerator to the floor. That way you get through it more quickly.
All those times, well, I wish people would do that, but yeah. You got to be careful, though. You do have to be careful. I don't think they're standing
It
water.
Would be nice.
It would be
no,
nice.
No, particularly on a grooved pavement, the water that comes up from that is dangerous.
Yep. Pete, good stuff. Happy birthday. Really appreciate
Thank
you joining
you guys.
Us.
And I appreciate the fact that we didn't need to sing today. That was excellent.
Well, I wanted this to, you know, I wanted this to stay positive. I felt like it would just turn sour if we started singing.
So unless we get a surprise guest from Bill Murray coming in and doing his lounge singer act.
That's right. Well, have a great rest of your birthday, and look forward to talking to you tomorrow night.
Thank you so much, guys.
Pete Weber, the birthday boy. Good stuff from him. And, of course, he will be on the call with Hal Gill tomorrow night when they drop the puck at 7 o'clock when the Predators host yet again another Canadian team. It'll be the Winnipeg Jets. I'll have pregame for you at 6. Willie and his crew over on the TV side will have their pregame at 6:30. And don't forget, if you've not heard and you are planning on doing the double dip or just going to the Predators game on Saturday, that game has been moved to 7:30. So a little bit later start, 30 minutes later than normal. The Titans kick off at 3:30 at Nissan Stadium. The Predators game will drop their puck at 7:30. So you'll have a little time. So if you wanted to do the double dip, you can. You can make both. I feel pretty good in saying that. So just keep that in mind. 7:30 on Saturday. So I'll have pregame for you at 6:30. We'll come back. More on the other side as you listen to the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for a place to hang before the Titans-Bengals game Saturday at Nissan Stadium. We've got our pregame show live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. That's in East Nashville, Willie's backyard. The NFL pregame show will have Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. That'll be from 1 until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. The official location is 1003 Russell Street. That'd be a good place to hang before heading over to Nissan Stadium to see the
Titans. And I will tell you, Darren, it is walkable from there. It's a little bit of a long walk, but if you like, you know, being outside, and it is walkable, and it's a very easy Uber or, you know, whatever ride service you like to use. You know, it's absolutely short range to get to the stadium if you're actually going to go to the game. If you want to come by, you know, obviously you're welcome to stay and watch the game. It's a great place. It's a big, spacious place, perfect for just posting up and watching the game with your buddies. But if you are want to go and hang out and then go to the game, you have great access to the stadium from the east side there. So it's just,
I think it would be nice for a big game to support them because they were affected tremendously from the tornadoes.
Just ripped the place up.
Yeah, so
it's totally rebuilt.
They're back on their feet, and it's totally rebuilt, and it would be a nice place if you are looking for a place to hang before you go to the game to support, you know, support. Go there and listen to a pregame show, right?
Get in the mood, man.
They were affected big time from the tornadoes, and so that would be a nice gesture if you wanted to do that. So, by the way, I haven't even looked at the weather. What is the weather supposed to be like Saturday afternoon? I haven't even looked.
Very good question. Well, let's just take a look at, you know, what you get on your phone. You know, not that they have the detail on there that
looks like
you would other places. Saturday, a low of 15 degrees, a high of 38.
30, okay, I was going to say I've got 37. So cold,
It does look like there's no precipitation from what I can tell in the forecast. I see a sun. I see
a full sun. Okay, we're looking at the same thing. Okay. A sunny day, 37, high 30s, and it'll get cold when the sun goes down. So it's just going to be a cold day/night. Okay.
Yeah.
It's January.
So the elements, I don't think, will be a big factor. It'll probably be pretty cold by the time the game ends, one would think. But how do we feel about the field? That's another thing that I thought was creeping up, and it does from time to time at that time of the year. I'm wondering what they've done. I'm sure they've worked extremely hard to have it in the best possible condition for the playoff game. But the footing was an issue, right, in the Music City Bowl?
Oh, I brought it up to Jim Wyatt yesterday.
And then they played after
that. It absolutely was an issue.
Yeah.
And it used to be a big discussion piece in this market this time, you know, December. And if there were playoffs, you know, January – the footing or the sod, there was a big issue with that in the past. And I feel like it's been kind of quiet for a while, but, and don't forget TSU, right? Sharing the stadium has affected it.
Sure.
But Music
my guess
City Bowl
is
was bad.
Resodded. They probably resodded a lot since then. I'm trying to think when they haven't played there since the Dolphins game. The Dolphins game was the one.
And I said, I'll exclude that because the conditions were so poor. I mean, it rained, it poured the entire game.
Sure.
So I'm not going to really, you know, I won't factor that in. But for the Music City Bowl, it was a gorgeous day. I mean, an absolutely perfect day on December 30th, right, for a football game. 60 degrees and sunny. And it was, the field conditions were not good. Both teams complained big time about the field conditions. So I don't know. I don't know if that'll be a factor or not.
Well, and the other part of it is between now and then, the forecast looks good for Saturday, but the next few days, it's not exactly going to be the easiest day to go out and work on the field. We're going to have some rain. There's going to be some, you know, I think it could turn into some freezing rain tonight. So preparing for this game will be pretty interesting the next 2 days, and hopefully they'll have enough time to get out there and do what they want to do to get the field in tip-top shape there.
Yep.
But I would say, if it's going to be a little sloggy, Would you rather be the Titans or the Bengals? Hard to know. But the Bengals would be the team that you would want to think, you would think wants to sling it around a little bit more.
I would say there's two answers. Weather, when it comes to cold or poor conditions, would probably favor Cincinnati because they're used to it, right? They're used to poor conditions this time of year. I mean, their home games in December are usually, you know, are usually in poor conditions, at least really, really cold or rainy or snowy. So they're used to that. Here, you never know what you're going to get this time of year. You could get 65 degrees. You could get 25 degrees. You could get sunny. You could get raining. You could get snow. You know, so you don't know what you're going to get here, but you also have a good chance of getting fine weather, perfect weather. Where in Cincinnati, you know you're probably not going to be dealing with that. You're probably – conditions are going to be poor. But
okay.
With that being said, if it is going to be, like you said, sloggy, cold, wouldn't that favor the running team?
I think there are running backs that run well when the footing's not great, and that's another X factor for Derrick Henry. It's hard to know. So I don't think – it doesn't look like it's going to be
it's
that
a Derrick
big of a deal.
Mason question. Because, you know, running routes and making cuts, I do wonder, is it harder doing it that way or running backs have to make cuts too? So which – does anybody have an advantage? I don't know. I think it's a really good question that, you know, we can ask D-Mace tomorrow because I would like to hear a guy who did it at that level for a long time weigh
on
in.
On that field.
And does, you know, does either one – which position has an, you know, has an advantage – when it if that were in play, and maybe the answer is neither, but I would like to hear his answer.
And I know from time to time that this is not the only place that it happens, but there are places that resod the entire field between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs. And so I'm curious too with what Derek would say about if they've done that here recently when it's new. What does that feel like? Here's another part of the environment. How many Bengals fans do you think will be making their way into Nashville? It's an easy drive, obviously. And
there'll be thousands, you know, there was in the building.
Oh, I think so. But the question is enough to make a difference?
No.
You know, a certain chunk actually makes, I think, for a great atmosphere. I love when there's a little small pocket that are making noise. You could hear the 49er fans in Dallas.
Oh, it wasn't a pocket. Let me just tell you right now. I was there. It was not a pocket of 49ers fans. They were everywhere.
No. Oh, yeah, definitely when they were in Nashville. I thought
floored.
They were in Dallas. I was talking about in the Dallas playoff game. L.A.,
yes.
They took over L.A.
I
course,
was
out that
floored.
Way.
I'm thinking
the 49ers fans were traveling.
I was like, do they travel or do they just live here? Like, you got to be kidding me. They were everywhere for that Thursday night game. They were very visible.
For a playoff game, you're not used to that, but that was not usual. But I do think with each passing year, it's becoming more and more a thing where NFL fans are traveling more like college
fans. I'm sure 5,000 Bengals fans is not a crazy number to throw
maybe
out.
More than that.
They'll be in there, yeah, 5,000 to 7,000.
Yeah.
Let's go to Adam on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, so I'm sorry if you guys have covered this, man. I just now got to listen to y'all, but I just listened to the press conference, and did that. And I give a master class in overthinking things and looking too far into things, so I'll just know that. But did that feel off? Did that press conference feel off to y'all? Because it felt like when Trump got COVID and then his doctors come out and you could tell they weren't saying everything they needed. That's what it felt like to me.
What do you mean by off? Like what felt off to you?
I'm glad he said, yeah, I'm happy to be back and happy to help the team. But anytime they'd be like, is it something to do with your workload? I don't know. Do you think you're going to be getting these? I don't know, man. I just, you know, something about it just felt weird to me. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know that he's going to jump right in and take over. I couldn't tell. I expected something else. He didn't have to be Ric Flair and be like, ooh, let's go. But I expected something a little different, I guess, than what I got.
If it would have been Ric Flair, we would have had a story.
It was so sweet, yeah. No, I didn't get what I wanted out of it, man.
I don't see it. And I know where you're going. understand your hesitation, but I don't think so. I think those are legitimate questions that you don't have the answer to. Like, well, Derrick Henry's not going to proclaim how many carries he's going to have. Derrick Henry isn't going to proclaim, you know, the rust, because as we've talked about all week, until he goes out there and does it, he truly doesn't know. The Titans don't know. Like, it is the unknown. Everything can feel good. Everything can look good. But until he gets in there and truly does it in that setting that you cannot recreate this week, you cannot, no matter what they try to do. Contact, no contact. They're not good. Tackle, no tackle. They're not going to be able to recreate that. He truly can't answer that. I don't think he's dodging. I just don't think he can answer them, just like Mike Vrabel's not going to answer them, just like Todd Downing's not going to answer, because I don't think they know until they're in it.
Also,
fair? I mean, did you think that's what it is?
I thought it was an interesting thing he said. He said, you know, I think it was Paul Kowarski that asked about, you know, do you feel the same cutting off of one foot as you do your other foot now that you've gone through this? And he says, well, the difference between my right leg and my left leg is I got a steel plate.
Plate in my right, yeah.
In one of my, yeah. So that is unknown. And I do think that they're going to do everything they can. The technology you have now, the medical advances to be able to try to make a guy as comfortable as possible under the circumstances. They're going to do everything there. We've got great doctors in Tennessee, in our area working on that. But until you go do it, you know, he was asked about the mental side of it. What's it going to feel like when you start getting hit and you're in traffic and you're getting twisted around?
And he gave the right answer. I don't think about that stuff.
He's like, I don't think. But that's what the medical people and the trainers, that's their job as much as possible, is to create a setting to where he is free to keep his mind off of that stuff.
But he's human. That's the right answer, though.
I can't think about that stuff.
Because you're going to get yourself in trouble if you're thinking about that stuff. Like, you can't.
Definitely.
It's like we've always said, right? Like, athletes can't think about their, you know, NASCAR drivers. Oh, you know, is this the day I could die? Could I be in a really bad wreck? Like, you can't go into a race thinking about that stuff. If you do, you're in big trouble. Athletes can't go into games going, I hope I don't get hurt. Right? They don't think like that. They know they're at risk every time they suit up and play. They know they can get injured. But if you go into games going, man, I hope I don't get hurt today. Hope this is not the day where I get hurt. Or I hope this holds up. If you have that mindset, then you're probably going to be off. You won't be yourself. I think he gave the right answer. I do. I think that was the way you have to answer that. So I didn't have any issues with – I thought his press conference was spot on. I thought his answers were good.
I think he's in there. Like, if you didn't hear the press conference had any doubt that he's going to be in there, he is going to be in there.
I know he said, we'll see where we're at on Saturday. Look, he's playing, okay? He's playing. Now, I don't know if he'll finish, but he's playing. And I suspect he will finish, but I'm saying I don't know if he will or he won't, but he's playing. When they start the game, 22 is going to be out there. When it's their first possession, he's going to be out on the field, and the place is going to go nuts. Let's go to Tim on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. I saw on the local news channels, I believe it was Channel 2, I think Corey Curtis reported this. They did resod the whole field because they were showing that on the news clip of them repainting all the logos and the lettering in the end zones.
You mean when they went logo-less? In the Miami game, which was weird. they had no logos.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But they were showing them the field actually looked like it had been, you know, sodded because it looked looked like it had been painted actually. And they were repainting the logos and they were mentioning that it had been re-sodded.
So the whole field?
I assume that's the way it sounded on the local news channel. I think it was WKRN actually.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for passing that along. I'm not surprised. I mean,
yeah, it's been something they've done many times before.
Yep. They've also painted it too, by the way.
Yeah.
Remember we used to talk about that? They used to paint it.
Oh, yeah. That John Madden. the late John Madden at a Monday Night Football game against the Patriots. Sure, he's like, this is not a good-looking NFL field right here.
He was ripping them for their field conditions and painting the field.
Good win. Yeah. Good win for the Titans that night. Just thinking back to that, it really was. They played an impressive game and whipped Tom Brady and the Patriots that year. But I think they've learned a lot since then, honestly. Those were still the fairly early years of that stadium in this city with that ownership group. I think they have learned, you know, how to make it work in this region. This is not the easiest region to grow grass in the wintertime. Most fields, when you get this far north, they go turf. Not here. They have really worked hard to keep it a natural grass stadium.
All right. Why don't you end this with Lee Company, and then we'll come back and put a bow on this show.
Okay, Lee Company, 615-567-1000 is your phone number to keep top of mind, especially at this time of the year where it's going to be getting cold. Got more really freezing temperatures coming up in the coming days. Make sure your heater is working properly. And if you haven't had it checked in a while, go ahead and do it. Get on the horn, 615-567-1000 for Lee Company, or go and make an online appointment at LeeCompany.com. They can help you with a lot of different things, not just your heater, but pretty soon here, it'll be time to check your air conditioning unit, your plumbing, and your electric. In fact, they've got a program for all of it, and they take it out of your hands. They will keep on top of these things with annual checkups and the home maintenance plan. So call them and tell them you want to be part of that. It's a small monthly fee. You get the free checkups every year, and you get discounts on any repairs that need to happen. 615-567-1000 or LeeCompany.com. Lee Company is a proud sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. They'll be a part of our big coverage tomorrow night from Smashville on 102.5 The Game. Face off at 7 o'clock against the Winnipeg Jets. Our coverage starts at 6 here on The Game. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
We're just in a giving mood today. It's just one of those days. Let's just keep giving to people who listen. Big caller 5 right now, 615-737-1025. You get a pair of tickets. You get a pair of tickets. You get a pair of tickets. Tomorrow night's game, Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Winnipeg Jets. Big caller 5. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We're giving. Chase continues to give on this show, talking about Blue Chew. I mean, every spot I hear him talking about Blue Chew. That's another gift that just keeps on giving. I notice he's not willing to do them live right now. He seemed to struggle yesterday doing those live. You know, he would not look at us. He would not even come. In fact, he would turn his back to us. He struggled.
Did he actually do that?
Yes. Until he left the show. Okay. When you weren't on, he did two of those, and he could barely get through the first one. And two, the second time, he wouldn't even look at us. He turned his back to us because we were howling. And we were and so now he's not even doing them live today. He's been recording them, I think.
In the shadows. He's in the shadows.
He's in the shadows. Last night, when we were covering the Predators game, Vanderbilt was hosting Tennessee. Good game, but Tennessee scores the final 8 points of the game and pulls away with the 68-60 victory. Now Tennessee has beaten Vanderbilt 9 times in a row. 9. Six times in a row in Nashville.
That's the thing that I think is the next step for Jerry Stackhouse. They've got to get back to where they are banking wins at home. They're 2-0. They've got two road wins in the league so far, but they're 0-3 at home. And that's just that bites a little bit, especially with the tradition of the program in Memorial Gym. There's just no way you should go 0-3. They're getting better. They've had some of their best wins under Jerry Stackhouse here in the last month, month and a half, they've played a pretty solid schedule. In the KenPom ratings, they're now in the top 100. They're progressing. But I think they're hungry for more. You know, I think the fans are hungry for more. It's time to start getting some more, you know, skins on the wall. And I think they will. I think the next thing, as I've been saying for a while now, they've got to get this center, Liam Robbins, back in there. They need him. That's what's missing from their lineup right now. Plus, they need more consistent shooting on a night-in and night-out basis from their outside shooters. When they shoot well, they're tough to beat, but they can go cold.
Yep. Cheers to what happens. Congratulations, Philip Krueger, for being caller five. It pays to listen. And, Philip, we'll see you tomorrow night in Bridgestone Arena when the Predators host the Jets. That will do it for us today. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Stay safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We shall see you then.